The Großglockner Hochalpenstraße is not only one of the most beautiful panoramic high mountain roads in the world, it is also a visual school of nature in the Hohe Tauern National Park.
That's what Dr. Johannes Hörl, CEO of the Großglockner Hochalpenstraßen AG, or GroHack for short, says about his road. And with that, welcome to the Glockner Gipfel. In the first episode of our podcast, I join Johannes Hörl to experience the 48-kilometer road. During the drive, we talk about the highlights we see and what there is to experience on the road in Europe's largest national park. In mid-May, shortly after the snow has been cleared, we also meet GroHack employees, hut owners, and the first guests who are looking forward to visiting the most beautiful adventure road in the Alps. And not because it is the shortest route from north to south or the fastest connection between the federal states of Salzburg and Carinthia, but because it is the most beautiful. My name is Max Kugel, and I would like to take you on this exciting journey and hope you enjoy Austria's highest view. Dear Johannes, we are at a historic place on the Großglockner High Alpine Road at kilometer zero. The stone was set by the builder of the Großglockner Hochalpenstraße, engineer Franz Wallach. Why? Why did he build the road in the first place?
Graduate engineer Franz Wallach was originally from Vienna and came from an upper middle class family. His father was an authorized signatory in a large industrial company, and he himself had a technical education. He was then a young graduate engineer in the office of the Carinthian provincial government and was commissioned to draft a plan for the construction of a Großglockner high alpine road. He worked intensively on this in the years that followed and began construction in the same year.
And what was the intention? To create a link across the Alps? Or was the idea back then to develop it for tourism?
The historical reasons for the construction of the Großglockner High Alpine Road are actually very interesting. There are essentially three reasons. One reason was to create a Tauern crossing, because there was actually no way to cross the main Tauern ridge between the Brenner Pass and the Hohe Tauern for over 156 kilometers. That was one reason. The second reason was that they simply wanted to make the landscape of the Glockner Group and the Hohe Tauern accessible and open it up for tourism. This was already foreseeable in the early 20s. There were also various politicians, including the later federal chancellor Rameck, and above all, Governor Rehl from Salzburg, who said that we must promote tourism. We must make our beautiful regions accessible and tangible. That was the second reason. And the third reason was, and this was ultimately also decisive for the start of the construction work in the 1930s, the creation of jobs, in other words, to bring many people into employment and simply to carry out this major project as a special class construction project. In the end, that was also the decisive factor in the decision to finance it, and all three reasons together and cumulatively still play a role today in a modified form. The Glockner Road was also a pioneer in this respect, so to speak. And if this major project had not been undertaken, this masterpiece of Austrian engineering, so to speak, then it has to be honestly said that at some point it would no longer have been possible. Of course, the Großglockner High Alpine Road or a similar road construction project in the high mountains can no longer be built today. That was done back then, and we are still benefiting from it today.
We now start the electric motor of our car and drive towards Fusch an der Großglockner Straße. I am already very excited, because Franz Wallach's ambition was to build the most beautiful road in the world without taking precedence over nature. It's not about the fastest transit route, but about showcasing nature.
In principle, this is what distinguishes the Großglockner High Alpine Road from all other roads. It was simply important to Wallach not to take precedence over nature, but to integrate it into the surroundings in the best possible and ideal way. He chose a lot of cores to create views of 3,000-meter peaks, which are numerous here in the Hohen Dauern. There are 300 3,000-meter peaks here, and in order to create these views, he has also very gently bypassed mountain peaks and also very consciously with the approach that you have to drive particularly slowly there for safety reasons and at the same time enjoy the best and most beautiful views here in the Hohen Dauern, here in the Glockner Group.
So that means that you drive slowly and enjoyably, which is the purpose of the road, but also has the advantage for people like me, for example, who have a more sensitive stomach on hairpin bends, that they feel good when they are on the road.
That's right. It's actually a widespread misconception that the ascent to the Grossglockner High Alpine Road is too difficult, too steep, or anything else. On the contrary, this is something that Wallach has achieved, that you have a maximum gradient of 10 or 11% here and can actually experience this special environmental situation, this high mountain landscape, very gently.
Yes, I'm excited. We're off now and I'll report back on how it feels when we get to the top.
Yes, it won't be a problem.
Okay, that means we now have 48 kilometers road ahead of us.
That's right. With the cul-de-sacs to the Edelweisspitz, to the top of the mountain. Incidentally, this is the highest drivable mountain peak in Europe. There is no other mountain peak that is higher. The background to this fact is that Franz Wallach simply blasted away the Edelweiss peak to build parking spaces. Incidentally, this is also a specific feature, which of course seems unbelievable from today's perspective, would never be feasible again, at least I hope so, for fundamental reasons, that people would interfere with nature to such an extent that mountain peaks would be blown away to build parking lots and to put the Edelweisspitz back on the map. With again the correct height of 2.571 meters, Wallach then built a lookout tower in the middle of this parking lot. Now 2.571 meters are correct again, and there are parking spaces all around. This story is really exciting because I think that this was possible 90-95 years ago is still a bit surprising to me today, but today we can use this parking lot and people can meet at the top and experience this Edelweisspitz and, as I said, the highest mountain peak that can be experienced by car in Europe.
An experience, in other words. And the Grossglockner Road is also called the Adventure Road. And I can't wait to see what we will experience. What you can already tell. The view here. It's now the middle of May, and I'm looking out over snow-covered peaks. You probably can't experience that anywhere else so easily.
Personally, I have a bit of a favorite spot. When I drive into Verleiten, Fuschverleiten, I immediately see that everything is green to the left and right. The beautiful road, thousands, hundreds of curbs, small walls, everything is green. And then comes the moment when Fuscher, Kalkopf, Brennkogel, Globen, all these snow-covered 3,000-meter peaks become visible. That's a special moment for me. Basically, every time I drive onto the Grossglockner High Alpine Road, and coming from Salzburg, because when I come from the Carinthian side, from the south, I can see the Grossglockner relatively early on. And in front of it, so to speak, the church in Heiligenblut. It's also a very beautiful view, but these are the two moments I have when I drive towards the Glocknerstrasse. So now we're here. Here is the Verleiten ticket office in Fuschverleiten. There is a separate lane for motorcyclists and also a separate lane for cyclists.
Very good. And now we're about to pass the ticket office.
That's right. We're now at lane one. So this is Mrs. Reiner. Good morning. Mrs. Reiner has been with us for a very long time. You wouldn't think so.
I've been here for the 26th summer, so I'm entering my 27th summer season, and I'm working as a toll collector.
You must have experienced a lot here. What was the most unusual vehicle you've had pass through here?
The most unusual vehicle was actually one someone built themselves, which we couldn't actually let up because it didn't have a license plate. Someone had somehow put together an old tractor for fun and hoped that he would be able to drive up there. but unfortunately that's not the case. Unfortunately, he had to turn around before the toll booth.
Okay, so that means it's also a bit of a safety precaution?
Yes, of course, of course. We are not only dependent on the weather and always have to emphasize that whether it works with snow chains or with winter tires, what it looks like at the top, we can't let just anyone drive on if it's dangerous. And that is important, as Dr. Hurl says, the contact person at the toll booth.
And yes, we're driving up now and don't have that much time today. What would be your insider tip, so to speak, where we should definitely stop?
I'm native Rau-Risserin, for example, at Edelweisspitze. It goes down to the back of the Edelweisspitze, not only because it's beautiful up there. It's also our highest point, the Edelweisspitze, which is 2,075 meters high. Nowhere else on the Grossglockner Road can you get higher by car than on the Edelweisspitze. This is one of the many beautiful viewpoints. Of course, the Fuschertürl also has a gigantic view where you can see the Glockner for the first time. People tend to confuse the Glockner with the Sonnenwallig at the top because it's pretty much the same shape. Over on the Franz Josef Schur, we simply have a dream. The road really is a dream.
Super. Mrs. Rainer, thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Thank you. See you again. Thank you.
Let's do a quick quiz. We are in hairpin bend 4. How many hairpin bends are there in total?
38 hairpin bends. I'm pretty sure of that.
So what I can describe now that we can't show anything in a podcast, but can only describe what we see. It really is almost a bit surreal what you see here. It's like something out of a picture book. It's almost a cinematic experience, especially on a beautiful day like today. And it's not just me thinking that now that I've been up here for the first time, but the Grossglockner or the road has often been the backdrop for films, if I've researched it correctly. Peter Alexander and so on, even in the 60s?
That's right. The Grossglockner High Alpine Road was a lot of scenery in many respects. I have to mention that now, we're just at 1,800 meters. This bend 8 is called Lerchach. It's called Lerchach because there are a lot of larks here. This lark here will be about 600 to 700 years old. So this is actually a very special place in this respect. And if I remember correctly, Xavier Naidu also filmed his video Es gibt kein Weg zurück here 5 years ago. They started here and then drove up to the Hochtor in their wonderful, beautiful cars, accompanied by drones. So it wasn't just Peter Alexander films. Bollywood has also been here. Bollywood was here. Bollywood is coming back. I was just on the phone yesterday with a gentleman, half Austrian, who lives and works in India. So Mr. Matt was sitting in New Delhi. We spoke on the phone for half an hour. They will come at the end of May and shoot a part for a Bollywood film, for a love story at the beginning of July. The leading actress is the fourth most famous influencer in the world with several hundred million viewers. And in this respect, we are, of course, always happy to make our backdrops available here. So we support it.
It reminds me right now, the scenery, it could have come from a typical James Bond film, but the famous agent 007 wasn't here yet.
007 hasn't been here yet. However, a few years ago, we had a request from Hollywood. The Fast and the Furious Part 6 was to be filmed here. However, they would have liked to close the road for a month and would have paid us a considerable seven-figure sum of money. But we can't do that. The Grossglockner High Alpine Road, and this is certainly also an important task for me, is not only the largest monument in the Republic of Austria, but it is only open in summer and then only during the day. The road is also closed at night during the summer months, and there are hundreds of thousands of people, guests from Austria and abroad, who want to experience this road, who want to experience these high mountains. And I can't keep them out. And it would also do considerable damage to my image if at some point guests no longer know whether the road is open or not, but it is relatively well known and well learned. From the beginning of May to the end of October, the Grossglockner High Alpine Road is basically accessible and passable. And if the weather situation is such that it is simply not possible, then of course not. But then of course there are temporary road closures. But in principle, in the summer months, we are a place for 700,000, 800,000, 900,000 people to relax, to experience the high mountains, the flora and fauna in the high mountains. And you can see these expanses, these views here in the Hohe Tauern. It's simply wonderful, and we can't keep that from anyone.
Absolutely, and now we've just passed the 2,000 meter altitude mark, so we're already over 2,000 meters in altitude, but still very good and snow-free on the road, but the snow is still creeping in on the left and right. And we also have an amazing experience in the middle of early summer, so to speak, that you can still experience snow here.
That's right, we've now arrived at the 10th hairband. This is the so-called Witch's Kitchen at 2,116 meters above sea level, and we've just passed the Witch's Tooth. This is a rock, I think, almost 7 meters high that looks like a witch's tooth. And here in the Witch's Kitchen, there are many legends that refer to these extraordinary rock formations and depict some kind of horror story. And so there are also different shadow conditions. At different times of the year, there are stories about how the shadow figures form, so to speak, and then there are different stories to go with them. But it's a special situation, and I'm a bit excited myself right now because the light and shadow conditions are particularly beautiful. We now have a wonderful view of the Kloben, where I was just 2 weeks ago with the touring skis, and up ahead to the left is the Brennkogel. If we now approach the Fuschertürl, we are at 2,400 meters. On the left is the Edelweisswand. Then we will see the Großglockner for the first time coming from the Salzburg side. It's still over 20 kilometers away from us, but you can already see it very clearly. The Großglockner and the Kleinglockner.
We turn off briefly and take the cul-de-sac to the Edelweisspitz, get out and enjoy the incredible 360-degree view of numerous 3,000-meter peaks, here at the highest point on the Großglockner Road that can be reached by vehicle. It's not just the breathtaking view that makes us a little short of breath, but probably also the noticeably thinner air up here.
The first one you've led up here as a guest. You have probably already been able to welcome hundreds of guests here personally and show them this beauty. Do you remember anyone who you would say was an absolute highlight, a guest you were able to welcome here, as these were not only political personalities but also countless celebrities, as one would say nowadays?
Yes, so of course, we always have guests from Germany and abroad. Also, ministers, prime ministers, chancellors, vice chancellors, we all have up here. Wolfgang Schüssel is a particular fan of the Großglockner High Alpine Road and has always been a great supporter of mountain huts in Austria and the national park. He is an insanely exciting conversation partner who simply knows his way around the alpine environment. But artists, in particular, are always drawn here. We don't just have contemporary artists who hold exhibitions here along the Großglockner High Alpine Road or here in the open air area, but also in the exhibitions inside. But above all, in the field of acting, pop musicians as well as presenters. I always think a lot about Sepp Forcher, who for me is an incredibly wise man who made programs up here, who brought real, really beautiful folk music here. Not cheesy and not flat, but very, very honest and authentic, just like international stars such as Xavier Naidu, who made videos here, Kool Savas. And what's nice, what's a very exciting moment for me, is that all these artists who come here, who actually feel that they can either expand their consciousness or express themselves particularly strongly, are absolutely pleasant conversation partners. So all of them, even in the pop sector, We have DJ Otzi, Gary Friedel, who says up here that he feels the power of the Grossglockner. It's simply something special for him here in the high mountains. And he also filmed part of his last video here. And yes, these encounters are also wonderful, and I am very grateful for them.
And it may be a big word, but I think you can say, or I can feel it here now, that this is a place of power for everyone who is able to experience it here.
This is definitely a place of power, and we will pass by several more places. There are very, very exciting places of power that we don't actually advertise as such, but where we keep getting submissions. There is a waterfall that is probably a very special place or power spot. We have already received several letters saying that people have been coming there again and again, have bought an annual pass, and have been visiting this place practically every week, and have been able to resolve their cancer. We are just incredibly careful with these topics because they cannot be scientifically substantiated, so to speak, and are also a very, very private matter. But I believe up here, just as we said before, why artists often feel very attracted here, in this region there is also, or perhaps it is also connected with the altitude, with hormones, with the endorphins that are released here, that it is simply always very honest. If you feel connected to nature, then it comes out particularly strongly here, and that is simply moving for many people, and you can't pretend. You can only be open and honest about it or express what you feel.
Exactly, and if James Bond ever really comes, you'll show him around here too?
Yes, I'd show James Bond, whoever then plays James Bond around too, of course.
What you might need to know is that we have around 16 restaurants here along the Grossglockner High Alpine Road. Some of them belong to us. We run them ourselves. Then we also have 7 stores along the Grossglockner High Alpine Road, most of which also have a catering section. But one particularly rustic inn here is, of course, the Edelweisshütte on the Edelweisspitz, which is run by the Lederer family, and we're going to ask them a few questions. Well, hello there. Do you have a minute then? We need you for an interview. We've just said that the Lederer family runs the Edelweisshütte here. The Lederer family owns a bit of land around the hut, right? But that's a bit. Maybe you can say that yourself. And tell us a bit about when you took over, how long you've been doing it, and how you're doing.
I'm Kurt Lederer, used to be the junior boss, but I've actually been up here for about 40 summers. And this year we're off to a good start again. The Glockenstrasse has opened early, and the weather is fine too. What more could we want?
When did you take over the whole thing from Dad?
In the year 2013.
Yes, you're still quite the boy to me.
No, I'm already old. The boy's already back. He's grown into it too. He's finishing his carpentry, and then he wants to be a host too. We were actually there before the Glockenstrasse. 1918 had already been planned in the year of the Glockenstrasse. Then the Edelweisspitze wasn't planned yet either. And then they built the roads as part of the construction work. And the great-grandfather held back the tops of this round when the land was being redeemed. And then the road came, and then the inn came. It's unique that I can live in a hut like this up there at 2,500 meters.
Now we are at the Hochtor Pass. This is, so to speak, the top of the pass at, I think, 2,504 meters. Above us, the Hochtor is considerably higher. So we're almost at 2,600, but we drive through the tunnel. Now we're right on the border with Carinthia. It's right in the middle of the tunnel. So the border between Salzburg and Carinthia is right here. And now we come out and have a wonderful view of the Mühltal Valley in Carinthia.
At Gasthof Schönneck, we meet a few international guests and visitors and take the liberty of asking a few questions in English.
Hi. What's your name?
My name is Esther.
Where are you from, Esther?
Holland.
From Holland. And yes. You're visiting the famous Großglockner Hochalpenstraße for the first time?
For the first time, yes.
What's your experience? Can you share it with us?
It's beautiful. The first, my husband, he likes to drive with a car, so the 48 kilometers is wonderful. And I thought, do we have to do it? But he really liked it. And when I came here and I saw everything around me, the mountains, the snow, the heights, yes, it's beautiful, really.
You don't have that in Holland.
No, we don't have that. Everything is low. Little hills.
We are now here at Gasthaus Schoneck and Erwin is standing next to me. The guests are already here again.
The guests are here. We've been open since the 20th of April. The guests are on their way and it's starting to get busy, isn't it?
You're providing them with the best culinary delights.
We would have homemade Kasnudel, of course, homemade Kaspetzle, our legendary Holzknecht brat. I've been in the hospitality industry for 40 years now, 20 of which I've been self-employed, and I've been here in beautiful Schoneck for 14 years. There are guests who come up to us 30 times in the summer season just because of our homemade things, and they love coming back.
What I really like about the restaurant up here is the children's terrace. So not just the playground, the Marmot playground and the Glockner Meadows and the butterfly exhibition, but a separate terrace that is, so to speak, just for children with child seats where the parents sitting above, 1 meter above, only have to look down and nothing can happen there. And that's actually quite a good concept because we also want to appeal to families and it works.
There are lots of guests here, lots of families, of course, with small children and so on. The guests can enjoy the terrace, the toddlers can go underneath, play on the swings, and it's just wonderful. No one can miss out, everything at a glance. And as I'm going to be a granddad myself in the fall, I'll have to make sure there's enough space for even more.
Dear Johannes, the Großglockner Road is not just for car enthusiasts, cyclists and motorcyclists, but also an adventure road for families. What makes the road a family experience?
Well, this area here at Schoneck has really developed wonderfully over the last few years or decades. The playground is already a bit of a must-have these days anyway, so it's a wonderful addition. So we've heard before this children's terrace and so on, the Marmot playground, where you learn a bit about the marmot and learn through play. So not just the slide and the seesaw and the swing, but there's a bit more for children who can already read a bit, who are interested in it. And right next door, about 20 years ago, Professor Stuber drew our attention to the fact that very, very rare orchid species bloom here, and now we have developed these Glockner meadows here, which are also looked after by our employees. There are sometimes 50 different types of flowers on 1 square meter, and you can take a nice walk through it in 5 minutes, but you can also take half an hour and learn a bit about the wonderful different alpine flowers, and yes, it's just wonderful. And then in between, we have the butterfly exhibition in this old company building here. Yes, there's actually something for every age group, and I think that's how it should be. You can learn something, you can play, you can just enjoy nature and have a bit of a snack at the same time. That's a great concept.
Yes, and that's not just the only exhibition here on the Glocknerstrasse. There are a whole host of exhibitions that make the road even more enjoyable, apart from the experience of nature. How many exhibitions are there here?
We have 15 exhibitions along the Großglockner High Alpine Road, most of which have to do with the region, so to speak, with the flora and fauna of the high mountains, but also with the glacier world, with minerals, up to the Marmot exhibition and the Marmot cinema. Yes, in principle there is something for every age group here too. Of course we have several exhibitions at the Kaiser Franz Josefs Höhe Visitor Center, including one called Berg Die, which looks at the importance of women in alpinism, so to speak,
and how they were actually held back a little by the proud mountain guides and mountaineers 200 years ago. In principle, they were not granted the opportunity to climb the Glockner, and there are wonderful stories about this. For example, women were included in the first ascents, also from the region, and they were then thwarted and only led to the Kleinglockner and left to believe that it was the Großglockner, so that the Großglockner would be reserved for men, so to speak. But as it always is in life, you can't hold out and endure that for long. At some point, the truth comes to light, and the truth is on display here. The women have achieved infinitely great feats in alpinism, and that is also explained here in a very humorous but scientifically sound way.
Yes, I can spoil a bit. We will even dedicate a separate episode to the Bjarkdi exhibition, where we will learn a bit more about it. If you continue or finish the Glockner Road here, you will eventually arrive in Heiligenblut in Carinthia. That means we have crossed the Alps from north to south, so to speak. And that has probably always been an important point, or it is still the transit from north to south.
Yes, we know from our figures that around a third of people also use the Großglockner High Alpine Road as a transit route. This means that these users, who drive from north to south or south to north over the Tauern main ridge, often no longer use this branch road to the Kaiser Franz Josef's Höhe. They are, for example, on their way home from Italy to a vacation destination, or they are on their way from Munich to Italy and take the opportunity not to use the permanent highway or other expressways, but they want to travel in a relaxed manner. They want to experience the high mountains and then use the Großglockner High Alpine Road. Of course, there are not only beautiful spots along the way. Heiligenblut is also very well known as a tourist resort, a ski resort, a place of mountaineering legends. The Heiligenblut mountain guides, for example, have been the most famous alpinists of all for decades, for 150 years in fact, who have given lectures all over the world, whose know-how and expertise is truly extraordinary. And you can experience all these stories here if you take a bit of time and simply ask around a bit and look behind every stone.
In other words, on the way to the sea, so to speak, to a well-earned beach vacation, combining the useful with the meaningful.
Exactly, the path from the sea to the Antarctic, into the eternal ice, you could say. Yes, the journey is the destination, and we are now driving up the glacier road to the Kaiser Franz Josef's Höhe. There we have the large parking garage and the visitor center, and a direct view of the Großglockner, the Black Mountain.
The journey is the destination, but the Großglockner High Alpine Road is not necessarily the shortest route from the north to Italy, of course, but it still has a meaning or significance.
Yes, the Großglockner has obviously always been a particularly powerful mountain, which even half a millennium ago attracted the muleteers who traveled this route from north to south, so to speak, from rich Europe from the north down to Italy, towards Venice. So they exchanged their gifts, so to speak, and then came back with shortbread and other spices. And there were big muleteers here. And it was precisely on this route that the Großglockner High Alpine Road was built, which was already a normal mule route half a millennium ago. And people obviously wanted to be close to the Großglockner, so it wasn't the shortest route that was the goal, so to speak, but it was close to this high gate, which has always been a past sanctuary. We also have special finds on display here. Gold statuettes, gold dockades, and so on are all on display here at the high gate. And if you take a closer look, for example, 10% of the entire global gold trade took place here via this mule route half a millennium ago, although it was clearly not the shortest route to the trading center of Venice, but people simply took the Großglockner with them. They wanted to be close to this black mountain of power, which already had a special significance very, very early on.
That probably means a kind of mythical attraction.
Yes,
the Grossglockner has always been known as a mystical mountain, as the Black Mountain that holds many uncertainties, that tells many stories, and there are not only many legends, but also many people who have very reverently donated something here, who have delivered something to the past shrine simply to appease the gods, because they didn't know exactly what would happen here and what it would look like. But this mystical approach has been preserved to this day. You can feel it too, yes? Yes, and the view speaks for itself. You can't hear the view now, of course, but I'm thrilled every time, to be honest.
We're practically standing right under the peak of Austria's highest mountain, and there are probably few countries where you can experience the country's highest mountain so close up, except perhaps in Holland, but otherwise, not really.
Holland is the highest mountain, I think, at 312 meters. Yes, that's just the way it is. And the Glockner also has, if you like, its best side here, I think. It's funny, the artist Hans Weiringer has immortalized himself here, has designed a great forecourt here at the National Park Parkplatz. The artwork is called Kraftwellenberg and is also a bit of a symbol for the eternal ice and the power of nature.
I can just see a sign here with an arrow and it says marmots. This means that there really are marmots living in the wild down here.
The marmot guarantee that we have up here really can be redeemed. Here, there it is. Ah, yes. And it's moving very slowly. Can you see it?
Exactly. And it's not positioned here. It's
real. Exactly. We haven't nailed it down here. It's in the wild. And of course, we have an advantage here. It's so vast. It goes down a few hundred meters. We have a width of a few hundred meters here. And the marmots have built their burrows here and look up when they want to. When they want peace and quiet, they disappear into the burrow. And yes, it's a bit of a gag, but not everyone can offer a marmot guarantee. And that's why it's especially fun for children to experience the marmots up close.
We are now riding back from the Kaiser Franz Josefshöhe towards Bruck an der Glocknerstraße. And I wanted to tell you how I'm doing, and I can confirm that it's a pleasure to ride here, even for sensitive stomachs. So Johannes, you have been with Grossglockner Hochalpenstraßen AG since the year 2010. That's quite a long time. After all this time, what still drives you? What still gives you pleasure? Or do you still have goals for the road?
Well, all the maintenance work, the safety issues, also this best possible resolution of the areas of tension that arise from natural engineering and tourism. All of these tasks that are associated with this are actually a permanent challenge in principle, and new topics are constantly being added. Whether it's the development of clothing brands that we sell through our stores, the development of an online store, or above all, sustainability issues that are now coming up. We have now registered the filling station business again after around 24 years. Only we don't have filling stations in the conventional sense, but purely e-charging stations that are electric filling stations. And we are currently building a Glockner e-power charging network here for hundreds of thousands of guests who will hopefully soon all come electrically, or at least mostly. All of these new issues that keep coming up are exciting and will remain exciting, so I wouldn't want to change jobs at the moment, because it will continue like this for many years to come and the tasks will simply remain varied and really challenging.
And what does Johannes Hörl like to do in his private life when he's not on the Grossglockner or in the office?
That's a good question. We have a family. Family with three children. We have a lot to do when it comes to leisure activities. We go hiking. In winter, we go skiing. We're practically out and about every Saturday. And then there's a household to run, which of course I don't run alone, but where I try to give my wife, Katharina, a flank. There's always something to do in the house. There's always something. I've started a new hobby with my son, which is playing golf.
I always thought of it as a sport for old people, but it's an exciting sport, and I try to switch off for a few hours to get away from work-related stress, and it works quite well.
And you've traveled a lot, of course, both professionally and as a hobby, and you've done a lot of international travel. When you think of the highlights, is there anywhere you would like to go again or somewhere you would like to go that you have never been to?
Where I've never been is Australia. I would definitely like to go there one day. Where I have already been and what I liked is I studied in Amsterdam. I haven't been there for a very long time. I would like to go there again. I worked in New York for an international law firm. I'll be going there again soon because my wife gave me a trip there for my birthday. We lived there together. I'm already looking forward to it. New York is certainly a city of superlatives in many respects. After the fall season, in October, November, we will fly there again.
Very nice. And with all these dream destinations that you've already been to, or perhaps will go to, can you think of a more beautiful place than here where you would like to live? So would you like to live somewhere else, or is this the most beautiful place for you?
I have to be honest, I have very strong roots in Salzburg with Austria. I think it is simply an incredibly livable region that we are allowed to be here. As I said, skiing in winter, half an hour to the most beautiful lakes. In an hour, I'm at the Grossglockner, so to speak, or the Glockner High Alpine Road. We have mountains, beautiful lakes, and great winter sports opportunities. I think there are few areas in the world that offer all this, and all this in a relatively unspoiled natural environment. I think this mixture is worth a lot. If you love the landscape and love the people, you can really lead an excellent life here. I wouldn't really want to change places. I wouldn't even think of moving somewhere else. I love my home. That's how it is.
I'm sure you're on the road a lot during the year, of course, and probably not accompanied by a roving reporter like me, but alone. I assume you also listen to a bit of music in the car. What's on your playlist?
Well, on my playlist is Enya. Enya is definitely at the top of the playlist.
Finally, I would like to do a word wrap. I'd love a short answer, but also a detailed one if you want to talk more about it. But otherwise, it's an either-or question. Tea or coffee?
Coffee.
Early riser or night owl?
More of a night owl, although I can't sleep as late as I used to. Weekends in bed, in this form, no longer existed since I was a student, with three children, of course. But I'm also very active at night, including when it comes to work, by the way.
So no sleep at all anymore?
It's almost like that.
The Beatles or the Rolling Stones?
Oh, I think both are great. I've always liked the Beatles, but some songs by the Rolling Stones are, of course, absolutely irreplaceable. You just need them.
And the last question, dog or cat?
Two cats. We have them, and that's a good thing.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Glockner Gipfel. For more information about the Grossglockner High Alpine Road, please visit our website, grossglockner.at. Thanks for listening, and hear you next time with Austria's highest view. This podcast episode was originally recorded in German language and then transformed to English using the help of artificial intelligence.